Hi, this is Kevin Koop, content guy with MorningNewsBeat.com, and this is part four of my conversation with Randy Fields, chairman and CEO of Park City Group, as we talk about the subject of out-of-stocks on the ReposiTrak out-of-stock management solution. So in the interest of just trying to kind of to narrow this down in a way that so it's understandable to everybody, and by everybody I mean me, let's take a category. Mustard, yogurt, you pick one. And say, okay, and let's just do a little case study here, how it would work.
Okay, let's take, we could take either, maybe we'll do both.
Okay.
Let me talk about how the consumer taste has created the problem. It's that perversity that's intellectually fascinating to me, that the more retailers cater to consumer changing taste, the more consumers they drive out of their stores. It's a perversity. It's interesting. One of our customers 10, 12 years ago had perhaps 40 to 50 SKUs, which still seems like a lot, in mustard. Mustard. I mean, I'm older. When I was a kid, there were three SKUs of mustard. There was small, medium, and large French's. That right. was it. So we went from 3 to 40. Today, they have 200 different SKUs of mustard. Well, has their shelf space increased?
Representing, I'm just guessing here. It doesn't matter so much, but I'm curious. Representing how many different brands or companies?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't look, but I'm going to guess there's companies I don't know, but brands and, yeah.
150 maybe? I would think
probably,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
So you're dealing
with
a lot of different entities there.
Exactly.
So it's not like, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Imagine having something called a gluten-free mustard. Well, of course it's gluten-free.
Right.
Or GMO or non-GMO or organic or whatever it would right. be or locally made.
But it's not, by the way, just it's not just organic. It's organic spicy, organic non-spicy,
exactly.
organic yellow, organic
exactly.
brown, organic
exactly.
stone ground.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
exactly.
it gets crazy.
Exactly. Now, here's what's happened. Although the shelf space has certainly expanded, the holding power of each of the SKUs against where we are today has declined. So the shelf holding power is declining at roughly the same time that we're having this explosion of SKUs.
So instead of having four or five facings, they're getting one facing.
Correct.
Maybe two if you're Gouldens.
Correct.
Okay.
In many cases, they can't even pack out a case. Now it's even worse because now the right. product's in the back. Whoops. So we know they'll be out of stock because they're not servicing the way they used to. Let's take a better category because it's higher velocity. Yogurt. Walk down any dairy aisle, go to anybody's yogurt. There's now hundreds of SKUs of yogurt, high fat, high protein, low fat, no fat, all of that. Organic,
Greek,
milk
Spanish,
on top,
yeah.
on top, whatever it would be. And just stand back and look at the holes. It's remarkable. What we're selling is empty space. We're not selling product anymore. And God forbid you put it on sale. Now it's a guaranteed hole. Almost all day long until somebody comes by to do a restock. So conceptually, you now have a category where you've proliferated it probably to the max. In fact, I would guess that that category will shrink a little bit over the
I think the numbers are showing that at this point.
And simultaneously, you've got monstrous out of stock. So what's the point, if you think about it? The whole point of having SKU proliferation is what? Is to be more attractive to a broader range of consumers who have differentiated tastes. That's why you do it. Then what's the point of doing it if you can't keep it on the shelf? Maybe you would be better off having fewer SKUs always in stock so that consumers knew, at least if they went in the store, they would get it. And I'm not arguing that's the right strategy. I'm simply saying that it's now to the point that out of stocks drive consumers out of the stores.
So in the case of, let's say, yogurt, so you are communicating, you're doing the analysis based on what's coming in the back door, what's going out the front door, what's being delivered, because you also have manufacturer supplier data, and you're putting that all together, you're basically connecting the dots in a way that tells you where the out-of-stocks are, and then communicating that back to the manufacturer to make sure the stuff that's getting delivered is what the store needs?
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah,
that
basically
simple?
We're saying, we'll look at, I'm making this up,
right.
the cream on top, grass-fed, full-fat yogurt, which happens to be the one that IE, right? After I make fun of all this weird differentiation, it is the one that I eat. And here's what we'll find, that on Tuesdays, it always, I'm making this up,
right.
It sells two between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. This Tuesday, it sold zero. That's interesting. Why? The answer is it was most likely, because that's a big enough deviation from normal, that there must be a problem. And what we're likely going to see is
it wasn't there.
It wasn't there. And it may have been somewhere in the back. They may have had a perpetual inventory that said they had a case in the back. But to the consumer who comes through, it was gone. It wasn't there.
Now, how do you factor in stuff like, okay, it could have been a snowstorm, so people didn't go to the store.
Correct.
You know, or it could have been a vacation week, so people were had their kids out of school and they were on vacation. So there are other things that could affect it.
Right.
Do you factor that stuff in
Yeah, absolutely. And what we try and do is to say, look, how finely do we want to look at this? We can be a half a deviation, a full standard deviation, multiple standard deviations. And we try and get people started on the program by saying, look, let's get the most egregious things fixed. But over time, we're going to go after this with a finer and finer brush, meaning lower and lower standard deviations. Because once a route driver in DSD has learned to properly stock a store, he knows how to stock the store. So conceptually, if we can get it right, it'll tend to be pretty persistent.
So to use a industry trope, once you've developed the skill to deal with the low hanging fruit, the higher hanging fruit is a lot easier to get
exactly
to.
Exactly right.
Because you've developed those skills. What would then be the big blockade? In other words, you look at the world, right? And what is the thing that is blocking this from happening? From this being this should be a revolution. You know, I would argue this. You know, this is the kind of revolution the industry needs to focus on, because it's a revolution that's doable, as opposed to an autonomous vehicle one, which is not quite so doable yet.
Right.
So what blocks it? What's stopping it?
Well, I think there's two conceptual blocks at the moment, one of which will come around and feed it. So let me start there. You mentioned the idea of shiny new object. And right now, that's called delivery or store pickup. So what's happening is stores now have pickers and whatnot running up and down the aisles, gathering products for consumers to pick up or be delivered. Now, what I would recommend is every CEO become a customer of that, and then they're going to find out how ugly the out-of-stock problem is. Because if you used Instacart or any of the delivery services, and I would just challenge you to order 10 items or more, here's what you'll find. At least two of the items are out of stock. So even the picking process is being impaired because the consumer thought it was in the store, the picker can't find it, and then has a substitute. So you have to interrupt the consumer. In fact, my kids were great users of Instacart. For the most part now, they've said it's too annoying because I want to set it and forget it. Instead, I'm being texted with pictures of other things for me to buy. Why can't my own children said, Dad, why can't they just have it? And I'm kind of going.
And you said, I'm trying.
I'm trying. So that's one obstacle. And that obstacle today, because they're focused on that as the biggest problem, is going to come back to haunt them. Because if it isn't on the shelf, you can't pick it, pack it, or deliver it to a consumer. Now, let's turn around and see what else is the issue. It's the ego. I can't tell you with a greater level of disappointment that we'll talk to someone who says, oh, yeah, we've got somebody we're doing our own out-of-stock work. And I think I scratch my head and I go, really? Well, here's the pictures of your stores. How's that working out for you? The problem of a retailer trying to address this himself is it takes headcount. Because it is the nagging. It's not the analytics. You can send numbers to people all day long. You got to get them motivated. You have to get them focused on fixing the out-of-stock problem in your particular store. And they're going to ask this question. What SKU, what store, what day did this happen? And you've got to nag them to get it done. So I'm convinced that the major obstacle is ego, do it themselves. And secondarily, it's that today they're focused on delivery, whatever that might turn out to be.
As in so many things, the first step in fixing a problem is actually admitting that you
Correct.
Have one.
Exactly
and that's hard.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's the end of part four of my conversation with Randy Fields, talking about the ReposiTrak out-of-stock management solution. We'll be back in a few days with part five, the conclusion of this conversation. We'll see you next time, everybody.